We're here at the fourth case of the morning, Patricia Peel versus Country Mutual Insurance. Mr. Jones.
May it please the court, William Jones for Patricia Peel. I'd like to, if I may, just reserve a couple minutes for rebuttal. Patricia Peel is the reason Congress passed Title VII and the Age Discrimination in Employment Act. This is a woman who gave 9 years of her life to a company. She received raises and promotions. She worked hard. She worked nights. She worked weekends. Then a 40-year-old supervisor takes over. A few months later, she's gone. She had a history at the company of stellar performance. She received favorable performance reviews consistently with respect to her work. And things only changed when the 40-year-old supervisor, Gary Hannenberger, took over.
Do you dispute the claim that Peel had a record of poor or at least declining performance once she was promoted to the CR2 position?
She was in the CR2 position for 2 months before her first performance review, which went from MR2 to MR1. Mr. Bates, who was the supervisor before Mr. Hannenberger, commented in that performance review that she had the previous CR2 had left a lot of files for her to handle. And also, I'll note the MR rating itself is defined by Country Mutual as stating that she fully complies, employee's performance fully meets the requirements of the position, and employee has demonstrated consistent effort, expertise, and accomplishments. That's Country Mutual's definition. That's the rating she received. It did go from MR2 to MR1, but it was still an MR rating that she received from Mr. Bates after she became the CR2 and after she got more responsibility.
So was it declining? Was her performance declining or not?
I suppose that's a subjective term. I think she got more work to do with more responsibility, and a lot was piled on her initially, and it went from an MR2 to an MR1. MR1, by the way, is the same rating this Laura Dembski got in her first annual performance review at an as a CR2, a year after she began with Country Mutual. She was never disciplined. She wasn't fired.
And she was much younger.
She was 32 years old, Your Honor. There are other people we need to talk about who are claims representatives who had the same job that Pat Peel had. Country Mutual raises Tom Kyle as an instance of somebody who was disciplined by Gary Hannenberger and who was younger. Tom Kyle wasn't fired, he quit. Tom Kyle was put on a performance rating and then taken off, and the day after he was taken off there was a supervisor's audit where they found problems with his file. This is after Gary Hannenberger took him off of the performance rating. As I say, Tom Kyle didn't quit, he was fired. Matt Smith is another prime example. Matt Smith is a guy who Gary Hannenberger supervised at the Rolling Meadows office before he was transferred to the Grace Lake office. Matt Smith, after Gary Hannenberger left and Cheryl Kramer took over, she found glaring problems with his files. There were performance supervisor's audits that found glaring problems with his files. So when Cheryl Kramer takes over, Matt Smith says to Cheryl Kramer, "Why are you picking on me? Gary Hannenberger is a supervisor with a lot more experience than you, and he never picked on me." That's further evidence of the fact that Gary Hannenberger simply treated the young claims representatives differently than he treated Pat Peel.
You know, your entire focus is on Hannenberger, even though it's clear from the record that he wasn't the final decision maker. Are you claiming that he so poisoned the well by making false claims about her performance to higher management? And if so, where in the record would we find that?
Well, all of the performance reviews were done by Gary Hannenberger. There were instances where Mike Kearns came down and reviewed files as well. But the well certainly was poisoned by Gary Hannenberger. He's the one who suggested that she be put on the performance rating. He's the one who looked at her work regularly. He was the impetus. He was the cause of her being fired. There's no question about that in the record. And with respect to the company, the other fact that you need to be aware of is that Country Mutual, shortly before Ms. Peel was put on, before the campaign to fire her began, They offered the company, the older employees of the company, this voluntary early retirement program, which was directed to getting rid of the older employees.
But can we even consider her rejection of early retirement as evidence, given that no other employee who rejected early retirement was fired for performance reasons?
I think it's relevant because I think in a normal circumstance, where an employee who has been with a company for 9 years all of a sudden is being fired by the 40-year-old supervisor, normally they're going to take a good hard look at that.
But it's a new job. She has all these new responsibilities.
She had some new responsibilities, correct. She went from CR1 to CR2. But she also had 9 years of, or 8 years at that point of good performance. And they didn't take a good hard look at this because of the fact they were happy to see the older claims representative go.
On this poisoning the well thing, Judge Zagel says perhaps Hanenberger could stack the deck against Peel by filing by filling her file with false criticisms, but that is not alleged here. Is that accurate, David?
I think that that's accurate to a point. There were problems with respect to some of the files that she worked on, but these are the same problems that every claims representative experienced. They had a lot of work to do. They weren't going to meet best practices in every instance. None of these other claims representatives did. None of them came close. There was the testimony of Dawn Jones and Joyce Harrington about the fact that, you know, when he went up on storm duty, he left hundreds of files that had nothing, at least hundreds of instances of the files having nothing done on them, and he wasn't disciplined. Mr. Hanenberger just said, "Go ahead and do it. Take care of it." So that was there were cases where there were files that she didn't meet best practices on, but everybody had the same circumstance, and she was treated differently than the younger employees. And I wanted to reserve some time for rebuttal, so maybe I'll sit down and shut up at this point.
Okay. Ben Powers.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I think Your Honors have focused on the exact issue that Country Mutual focused on when evaluating Mrs. Peel. She had been an employee for 8 years. She had performed adequately. Based on that performance record, she was promoted to the CR2 position. And as Mr. Jones admitted, it was a lot more work. And fundamentally, her performance then began to deteriorate. And if we look at not only the deteriorating performance, but the opportunities for improvement that were provided to Mrs. Peel over really a 20-month period, she can point to no one who had the same performance record, who wasn't disciplined, and ultimately terminated in a much shorter period of time. This is a person who had performance problems, if we just take it through, she's first criticized by Dennis Bates, who is not the villain here. Gary Hanenberger, clearly in Mrs. Peel's mind, is the villain. Dennis Bates says you're falling behind on best practices, and we can easily understand what best practices are. You get an automobile claim in, you're supposed to contact the insured within an hour. You're supposed to follow up and get a report within 24 hours. These are standards that Country Mutual expects of all their claims representatives. And the claims supervisors are called upon to monitor compliance with best practices. Okay. Not working for Mrs. Peel as of her first review, which happens to be her annual review in March. She continues in that position. Gary Hanenberger starts there in September of 97. Dennis Bates is out. Gary Hanenberger is in. Mr. Jones just said a few months later Mrs. Peel was out. Absolutely not true. Hanenberger comes in September of 97. Mrs. Peel is terminated August of 98. Almost a year later, after at least 9 additional written warnings. 30 days to improve, not there. Okay, 30 more days, not there. 30 more days, still not there. And it was only after those extensions of time for improvement that she was put on a provisional rating. Decision makers, Gary Hannenberger, as a claims rep, could not act alone in two things, in putting her on a provisional rating and in terminating her. Mike Kern, interestingly, the person who hired Mrs. Peel, was very involved in putting her on the provisional rating in June of 98. And understand that she wasn't put on a provisional rating for, what is that, at least 6 months after Hannenberger took over. No, more like 9 months, actually. Even a provisional rating, Kearns and Hannenberger can't do alone. They have to go to HR. HR approved. Still, Mrs. Peel doesn't improve. Decision made then, let's review the files. Let's take a hard look at this. She's given a couple more warnings. No improvement, or at least not sustained improvement. Recommendation for termination came from Kearns and Hannenberger. To Joe Painter, who is Kearns' boss, to HR. Four people involved in the decision. I must also say that one of the heavy criticisms of Mrs. Peel came from a training supervisor, Don Weber, in February of 98. Third party comes in, random review of files, supervisor audit, every office once a year. Peel did not fare well in that third party review. So lots of people giving input, lots of opportunities for improvement. Clearly did not meet legitimate performance expectations. Cannot point to anyone treated better. Let's look at Tom Kyle. Unlike Mrs. Peel, Tom Kyle quit before he was terminated. The evidence is undisputed that he was heavily criticized for his performance deficiencies, was told to shape up or he would be terminated, and he quit. Tom Kyle also was in the Grays Lake office in September of 97 when Hannenberger arrived. Hannenberger did a quarterly review of Kyle in October. 1 month after arriving, he does a quarterly review of Kyle. Not Peel, Kyle. Not a good review. 1 month later, puts him on a provisional rating. Takes him 2 months to put Kyle on a provisional rating. Mrs. Peel, heavily criticized, doesn't hit provisional rating till June. Lots of opportunities for improvement, not extended to Kyle. Kyle did come off the provisional rating, but when his performance slipped again, told that he would be terminated if he didn't improve, and understand there was no opportunity for a second provisional rating for Kyle or anyone. That's a final warning, final, final, you don't get another one. Matt Smith, in a different office, in a Schomburg office, at some point worked for Hannenberger, and the record will show that Hannenberger was critical of him, but you don't fire somebody after a couple months. You give them opportunities for improvement. Smith was given those opportunities for improvement, but not over the same period that Mrs. Peel was given them, over a much shorter period of time, told shape up and improve, ultimately terminated in April of 98. Peel was not terminated until August.
Now, Mr. Jones pointed out that you didn't distinguish some of the case law on which Ms. Peel relies. The Supreme Court case of Reeves versus Sanderson Plumbing, and our cases in this circuit of Gordon and Freeman. Those cases were cited in Ms. Peel's opening brief and then again at page 6 of her reply.
Your Honor, we didn't because, as you know, these are very fact-intensive cases. We cited to a number of cases. We didn't specifically distinguish those. We did distinguish others. Reeves and most of those cases, I believe, come down to a pretext showing. Here, And really, the critical fact here that distinguishes those cases and really, I think, nails this case is Mrs. Peel does not at any point say that these criticisms were unfounded. She consistently says, yes, but. yes, I did that, but these criticisms are weak.
I think her claim boils down to the other employees who were younger or male, who had similar issues and were not fired. I think that's...
Well, if we could turn to those people, that would be Chris Mason and Laura Dembski. Chris Mason did not have a similar performance record. It really is not a disputed fact. It's one thing for Mrs. Peel to say, Chris Mason did the same thing I did, and he wasn't terminated. There is no support in the record for that. To the contrary, Don Weber complimented Chris Mason on his file. So a third party coming in complimented Chris Mason on his file. The only comment you see comes from a subordinate, somebody at the CSR level, which is the support level, claim support representative, Joyce Harrington, I believe it was, who said, and Mr. Jones referenced it, Chris Mason goes out on storm duty, he leaves a stack of files, he hands them to the CSR who supports him. That CSR, Joyce Harrington, has to work on his files. Well, the man's out on storm duty. If Mrs. Peel had been out on storm duty, there's backup, and that's an insurance company. You got to do what you got to do, which is all Mr. Hamburger said. You got to do what you got to do. So there is no record of Chris Mason having problems, and Laura Dembski, which we must note, defeats Mrs. Peel's sex claim, received one criticism after a year. And the criticism took her down to an MR1 rating. Mrs. Peel was nowhere near an MR1 rating when she was terminated. She had moved well below to needs improvement, to a 30-day notice, to a 30-day notice, to a 30-day notice, to a provisional rating. She is not similarly situated to Laura Dembski in any way. Thank you.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll try to be brief. Reeves versus Anderson Plumbing, which Country Mutual did not cite, stands for the proposition that a company cannot stand behind performance reviews, critical performance reviews, and then obtain summary judgment in a case or obtain judgment notwithstanding a verdict. Large companies are good at papering their files. Gary Hannenberger was good at papering his file. He did that with subjective criticisms of her work on her files that didn't warrant criticism for the younger claims workers that were doing the same thing that Pat Peel was. Pat Peel was working hard. She was working 6 days a week. She was working Saturdays, something that these other people were not doing. She was doing the best she could, which was as good or better than these younger claims workers. When we talk about Chris Mason, we have objective people with no access to grind who came in and say that when he went out on storm duty, it wasn't that, gosh, I don't want to have to do his work for him. It's that these files have not been worked. Nothing's been done on them. He did not comply with the bring-up system on these files. In a snapshot that was taken when he went off on storm duty, they had not been worked on. And everybody consistently said that he just was not pushed. Gary Hannenberger did not push the younger workers as hard as he pushed Pat Peel. Gary Hannenberger clearly set up Pat Peel to fire her. He did this from the moment he took over as the supervisor. Matt Smith, you know, the new supervisor takes over and says, this guy does not cut it, he cannot do it. And he says, well, Gary Hannenberger didn't pick on me, why are you picking on me? Tom Kyle, he was not fired. And I think a jury could reasonably infer that he never would have been fired. Yet Gary Hannenberger says, well, sure, I would have fired him eventually. But he wasn't. He quit. I think this also, as you noted, Judge Rovner, they didn't talk about the Gordon case. I don't think this case is distinguishable from Gordon at all. I think the jury needs to hear this evidence. A jury needs to look at Gary Hannenberger in the eye and decide whether sex and age were factors in the decision to terminate Pat Peel. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That case is taken under advisement.